You know, in this country, with its beginnings so deeply rooted in Protestantism, Catholics have always struggled to fit in. We've wanted to prove that we could be good citizens, patriotic Americans, just as much as any Presbyterian, for example. So we practiced our faith, but we learned not to talk about it. In the last several decades, really, the country has turned ever less Protestant and ever more secular. And many Catholics keep trying to fit in. And we become even more quiet about our faith, to the point where many of us struggle even to put into words, the gospel of Jesus Christ, let alone to live it and to walk in it and be shaped by it. When's the last time you put into words or said out loud to someone that you're a Catholic Christian whose life is guided by the teachings of the church? Is your life guided by the teachings of the church? When's the last time that you put into words for another human being the way in which your life is shaped by Jesus Christ? Saint Jerome lived in a golden age of study and learning in the Roman Empire, and he was a great intellectual. He considered himself a Christian who actually left home and family to live in Jerusalem. And in a letter, he described his spiritual life in this way. He said, "I would fast only that I might afterwards read Cicero. I would spend nights in vigil with floods of tears from my inmost heart on account of my sins. And then I would once more take up Plautus." He didn't like to read the Bible because the rhetoric wasn't as good as Cicero or Plautus or any of those other ancients. Finally, he said it was about the middle of Lent, and he fell into this deep-seated fever to the point where he became skin and bones, and to the point where others began making preparations for his funeral. And in the middle of that, suddenly he was caught up in the spirit and dragged before the judgment seat of Christ, who asked him who and what he was. And Jerome replied, "I'm a Christian." But the judge said, "You lie. You're a follower of Cicero, not of Christ. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And he was ordered to be scourged. And under the lash, he cried out, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord." And the others who were standing around also fell to their knees and begged mercy for him too. And then he made this solemn promise, "Lord, if ever again I possess or read worldly books, consider that I have denied you." And with those words, he was let go. And he returned to this world. And he woke up, or he opened his eyes, rather, which were drenched with tears. And he and those around him, he solemnly makes us, swears to this in his letter, he and those around him saw that his shoulders were black and blue from the vision. And he said he felt the bruises for a long time afterwards. Following that, he read the books of God with a zeal greater than he had previously given to the books of men. Jerome was reminded in his vision that this world isn't the end, and that what we do in this world has consequences for the next. If you and I stood before the judgment seat of Christ today, what kind of defense could we give? "Lord, I was nice to people. And I went to church an hour a week. And he might say, what did you do for the other 167 hours in the week? Would the judge say that we were more a follower of social media than of Christ? And notice in that letter of Jerome, Jerome wasn't going to be sent to hell for reading Cicero. But it does seem that it took a lashing to truly convert him from Cicero to Christ. He was, in a sense, putting up with fasting and vigils in order to get to his true love of ancient rhetoric. Do we put up with an hour of Mass to get to our true love of Chiefs football? Or maybe it's rom-coms or YouTube or whatever it might be. In the Rule of Saint Benedict, the Benedictine monks are told that when the bell rings that calls them to prayer, they're to drop whatever they're doing immediately and get up and head to prayer. They're told to prefer nothing to the love of Christ. I went to visit an older man once, first time I ever met him, and immediately he starts telling me about the story of his divorce from 40 years earlier. We barely introduced ourselves. And it was a long and difficult story. And afterwards, I asked him if he wanted to go to confession. And without hesitating, he said yes. He also said it had been many decades since he'd been to confession. And he was just an ordinary guy who tried to get by in the world and be a decent person. By the end of the confession, he was weeping. He was beginning to see how the world didn't care about him, how the world couldn't bring him forgiveness or healing or peace. He was beginning to see that he couldn't serve two masters, God and the world. The world didn't care about his broken heart, or how poorly he had treated his own body over the years, or whether he had friends or not. But the Lord had been waiting for 60 years to touch his inner heart and soul and begin the healing that the Lord had always desired for him. He was waiting at the gate of his heart. He's always at the gates of our hearts too. In those days, when the sun is darkened and the moon no longer gives its light and the stars fall from the sky and the powers in the heavens are shaken, when the Son of Man comes in the clouds with great power and glory and he sends out the angels to gather his elect, whether this refers to the end of the world or to our own personal end, what will the evidence say about us? If we had to defend the Christian faith before others, would we be able to do it? If we were called to explain the Christian faith to others, would we be able to do it? How divided are our hearts between this world and the next? If we don't know how to talk about our faith, can we really be called a Christian? Here's the homework for the week. This week, think out, or better, write out, a short explanation of the gospel in your own words, of how you would explain the good news of Jesus Christ to another. Let's stop trying to fit in with a secular culture that wants us to keep quiet about our faith and that disregards what is most essential taught to us by our faith.